Welcome to Let's Get Our Ship Together, a queer women of color debrief on the latest in queer lady and POC representation in television and film. I'm Amira.
And I'm Aphrodite.
And in this episode, we'll be talking about the latest episode of The Bold Type. But first, we have a special guest with us. Natasha, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Natasha, friend Natasha. I'm also a queer woman of color, and I've been watching Bold Type since season one, and I'm happy to be here for this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're happy to have you.
Yeah, we're so excited. You're our first guest. You're our first guest on our podcast, so it's really exciting to have you, to have one more voice. And I know you and I have been talking about the show a little bit. We've been watching it separately,
yeah.
But like, I appreciate every time you text me with a reaction. No. And I also like that when you text me with reactions, you ask first, have you seen the episode?
Yeah, you know, that's very considerate.
Yeah, like, don't spoil it, but like, yeah. We both check in with each other, and like, we had a whole debrief. In fact, like one of the earlier episodes, I took notes during our discussion,
yeah.
And I used them to help to facilitate our conversation. So some of your ideas have already been brought up on the podcast. I just didn't properly credit you.
I was just gonna ask. My goodness.
So, okay. Welcome on board, and I'm sorry.
My God. After she was nice enough not to spoil episodes for you.
I know. Natasha is also a fellow Z-Knight, so Amir and I are lifelong Xena fans, and mm-hmm. Natasha very recently completed the entire series. Mm-hmm. So now
she... And completed her Z-Knight journey.
Exactly. Yes. Natasha and I went to meet Lucy Lawless together at a recent con, so like now the whole arc. Like, you've watched the whole series... And you've met Lucy Lawless.
Yeah, very soon after like ending the series, I got to meet Lucy Lawless.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
God, that's you're so lucky. I feel like that's like the equivalent of like the kids who get to read all the Harry Potter books in a row and then watch all. They don't have to wait for the books or the movies to come out. I'm like, you finished the series and you were like hot for Lucy, and then you got to meet her right away.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm happy for you, but I'm also like, that's not fair.
It was also.
Well, to be fair, I did watch the series when I was young.
Okay.
I just didn't watch the whole series.
I see.
So there was like a lot of buildup of 15 years.
That does
years
actually
and
help.
Then,
yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot. It's hard being a fangirl. This life is not easy.
I know.
Everyone is cut out for it.
I know. It's so much emotional investment and like emotional labor.
Yeah. And some of the pain that we're talking about now, we just recently experienced in this most recent episode of The Bold Type. So the episode's called The Domino Effect, and it focuses a lot on Jane's arc, but I think we need to start with the conversation of what happened with Kat.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is the storyline we care the most about, and frankly, I feel everyone should have cared the most about it in this episode.
Yeah.
Like, queer people and straight fans alike.
Mm, yeah. What I thought was really bold, every time I use the word bold, I'm like, the bold type. What I thought was really like fabulous about the writers was it's very clear that there are queer people on the writing team.
Yes.
You could not have written that scene in the club where the lesbians are talking about how incestuous it is and how like they're looking for new blood. I feel like no straight person would be able to speak like that.
Unless they did their research by watching The L Word.
Oh.
Yeah.
To be fair, so a lot of straight people I found out have watched that show and are actually into it. Yeah, I know. Who would have thought? But yeah, I mean, it's true. And I'm really happy that they touched on those points because I felt like I was getting a lot of those comments from straight people when I moved to SF and I was exploring the queer scene for the first time there, and I was like, wow, San Francisco is so much bigger than, you know, Ann Arbor. I was like, this is great. But then after like a couple weekends out, I was like, no, actually it's still pretty small. Still not a lot going on here. And I would tell other people that, and they'd be like, what? No, this is like, you know, the capital of the gays and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, the scene for men may be like that. I can't really speak to that personally, obviously, but for lesbians, it's still... It's small. It's the same people at every party.
Damn. So. You know, I mean, obviously, like, I'm living in the Midwest, so, like, my idea of small is relative.
Right.
Right? Like, everybody says, I feel like the one thing that, like, is unifying across the queer women's community is that we're complaining. We're all... We're complaining about queer lady nightlife, guaranteed.
Yep.
New York, LA, SF, wherever you are. Ohio, who knows? Mm-hmm. Like... You are complaining, I promise you.
I know.
People are not satisfied, and it's always too small.
You know what? We have high standards. We don't want to settle. I think that's okay.
I wonder if it's... So, okay, back to the show.
Yeah.
Are we talking about our lives? Are we talking about the show? Yeah. So in this episode, Kat gets invited by Layla to go to this queer lady night called Habit Forming.
Forming, yeah.
Habit Forming.
Mm-hmm.
Habit Forming. Okay, interesting. I know that...
Is there something... I don't get it. Maybe there's something... Did I miss it?
I also, was it the name of the bar or the party?
I think it's the name of the party. Okay. Because at least in New York, there are a couple of parties called Hot Rabbit. So that that kind of reminded me of that. In New York City, there are like queer women dominated parties that are called like Rabbit or Hot Rabbit or Bad Rabbit. And so like I like Habit, but Habit Forming. I mean, it's a name. Okay, it's so it's weird. a name of a night. And I assume it's not a club or a bar. Mm-hmm. And so Layla invites Kat. And every time Kat checks her phone, she's like, her eyes are like, you know, gleaming. She's got that sparkle of excitement. And she's excited about the fact that Layla has invited her out with her friends. And like Kat is saying yes. And she's dressing up. And she's looking cute for it. And she's getting free drinks at the bar. Yada, yada, yada. Kat's having a good time.
I know. It was hard to watch because you could just see her slipping down that slippery slope and like checking people out up and down. The lip bite.
Oh yeah.
Like
we
right
saw
when
that.
She got the,
yeah.
We saw the lip bite. And of course they're playing Hayley Kiyoko's Curious.
Right?
Yes.
How dare they?
I know. Like as that scene was playing out and as she was getting all these free drinks and there were cute girls and they were all like looking at her and she was looking at them, you could see the excitement. Like Kat has not had this happen before. And so now she's like, she's curious. She wants to find out.
And I mean, I was happy that she got to explore her curiosity. I mean, obviously she is into girls and it's not just Adina. Mm. We can say that for sure now.
Yes.
But yeah, that dancing scene, oh my God. We were all screaming. Yeah, like, we just couldn't handle it. It was too much. It was too intense. And, you know, that girl went for it one time. What was her name? Do you know the character?
No, but I'm, for a brief second,
was she... Daniela or something like that?
Yeah, there was something, because she introduced her briefly when they were at the bar.
Yeah, so, like, I, like, very briefly during that scene, because it was, as, like, hard it was as it was to watch, it was also hot. And so, like...
It was so, like, so many conflicting emotions. Just, like, I don't want to watch this, but I do want
to
watch
it. Yeah, exactly. Like, you don't want it to happen, but you're like, I'm happy it's happening.
like, this black girl reaches for her face and tries to kiss Kat, and then Kat pulls away.
Yeah.
But then she goes right back into dancing.
It's very playful pulling away. Like, she kind of, like, laughs. She's like, no, no, no. You know what I mean? Like, and the girl's like, okay. And then they just keep dancing. It's like, no. You know, if you're going
to
say no in that case, like,
it
I would like,
a hard no.
I would have put my foot down and be like, look, this is just like a friend thing. Like, don't be trying that again. I felt like that was a very flirtatious no.
Yeah. She could have been like, I'm just here to dance. That's what she could have done.
That's always your attitude.
I know. Well, so like for like a millisecond as I was screaming and like gripping at Natasha and Amira and like, while we were watching, there was a part of me that I also shipped it because I always support intra-racial ships when like Kat is a black queer woman and she's dancing with another black queer woman and so like I always sort of support those types of ships too, and so I was like, maybe I'm into this. But also, did you see that super hot Asian girl?
Yeah. Oh my God.
With the short hair and the leather studded jacket. Where's she in the show?
Yeah.
Can we write her in?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Her aesthetic was on point. Oh, I was like, I was loving it. She could have a spinoff.
Yeah.
They gave her like a little bit of screen time. Like you kept seeing her in the back of the shot for a while.
I wish she was more in the front.
Well, she was the thing we wanted to see in the shot. Mm-hmm. Like you, I mean, Layla's cool, but.
Mm-hmm. It's like I said when we're watching it. It's something about her bangs. Like I don't know.
Yeah,
I get upset every time she's on the screen.
I really don't like those bangs.
They're
a mess.
Yeah, she's a mess. What is she doing?
So here's where I think Layla messed up. How come Layla wasn't stopping Kat? Layla knows that Kat is dating Adina, and yet she invited her out, and she let all these women flirt with her, and she didn't sort of, you know.
Well, she herself was flirting with Kat. I mean, she's going after her own friend's girlfriend. You know, like, what kind of friend is she in the first place?
I'm pretty sure that Layla and Adina are exes.
Well, the way Adina seems to be with her exes, it seems like they are also friends.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
I mean,
fair.
I don't know. I feel like it was just shitty all around. Adina just has shitty friends and exes. Friend exes.
Yeah. Because I just feel like it was... it was not appropriate for Layla to allow all those things to happen. And she could have said, she could have invited both Adina and Kat out to go out
once
to
Adina
a bar.
Once Adina came back, because yeah. she was getting back the next day.
Yeah, like, why ask Kat to go out while Adina is out of town? And then let all these women buy her drinks without saying, oh, she's got a girlfriend. I don't know.
No, she did say. She introduced her right off the bat and said, this is Adina's girlfriend.
Oh.
And so I feel like, I mean, of course, I think that, you know, Daniela, if that's her name, the one that kissed Kat, is partially to blame. Layla's partially to blame. But Kat
is to blame.
Made yes. her choices. Mm. She is the one to blame, ultimately, for that event. Mm-hmm. So.
Okay. I have a question.
Yes.
If you were in that situation and you saw somebody, I guess, who's definitely partnered and in a monogamous relationship starting to flirt or kiss someone, like someone else who's not mm-hmm. their partner, would you talk to them about it?
I would.
I would, yeah, pull them aside.
And mm-hmm. I have, actually. Like, yeah. it's happened before.
Okay.
I've talked mm-hmm. to them about it.
It's yeah.
kind of like, you know, it's like when they're your friend, you want to, mm-hmm. like, just nicely call them out and not, yeah. like, I'm not trying to, like, start a fight, but it's like, you know... Oh, aren't
what are you
like?
Doing?
Yeah, yeah. Like the one time it happened, it was one of my straight friends, and she was like dancing with this guy at a club, mm-hmm. and I was like, I know for a fact if your boyfriend had seen that, he would not have been happy, and I know for a fact if you saw your boyfriend doing that with another girl, you would have not been happy either.
Yeah.
So I tried to like point out to her nicely. She's like, Yeah, yeah, I know. I'm sorry. You're right. I shouldn't be doing that. And then, mm-hmm. anyway, they ended up breaking up like a few months later. So
Yeah, I guess it's very easy to get carried away when you're mm-hmm. drinking and dancing and having a good time, and like this is your first time ever at mm-hmm. like a lesbian bar, not with your girlfriend.
Yeah.
And you know, Layla's invited you, and when you're mingling with this group and you're getting all this attention, it's probably hard, like self control. All those sort mm-hmm. of mental checks are not in place.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like for me, it's never really been difficult to stay faithful if I'm with somebody, you know. I just don't really put myself in that position in the first place.
Yeah
Especially after like the first like almost kiss, I think Kat should have like stepped back and been like, okay, things are going a little bit too far.
Right And I just think that because Kat is mm-hmm. a gaybe and she's mm-hmm. new to this, and she was like curious and mm-hmm. you know, thinking that maybe she's limited herself by just, you know, jumping into a relationship with Adina, that's why she didn't pull away.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what happens? Kat ends up kissing this other girl, mm-hmm. and then she consults with Jane and
she immediately goes
and
over
Sutton.
There, like 3 a.m.
Yeah, because she knows her friends will give her some advice. Yes. And what do they say to her?
Well,
Sutton says, "Did you touch her boobs? How were her boobs?"
Sutton's just like the greatest.
She really is.
You can really hope for. She, like, doesn't make you feel bad, even when you've done something. She's just... And to be fair, Sutton was still drunk at the time when they were having this conversation. But, you know, she would have said something mm-hmm. very similar, if not exactly the same, if she'd been sober. But Kat immediately is like, I have to tell Adina. And actually, Sutton says... She's like, what? No.
Sutton.
But Kat... You know, sticks to her her guns on that one, which mm-hmm. I was happy about. But at the same time, I was like, where was this tenacity at the club? You know, like, why weren't you sticking to it there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she didn't just tell her about the kiss.
Mm-hmm.
She
mm-hmm.
told Adina about the sex dreams and, like, I've been thinking about other women.
Yep.
I mean, she doesn't even let... Adina's barely put her stuff down in the apartment. Mm-hmm. And Adina's, like, about to show her picture. She's super happy to see Kat. And, like, it's just... Like, you can see how happy she is to be back home. And then, like, Kat, like, sort of ruins the moment, interrupts... Because she has to just get this out off her chest. She's like... Mm-hmm. She tells Adina straight up, I can't lie to you. And Adina... understandably so, needs some space. And so she steps out of the apartment mm-hmm. for a bit. Mm-hmm. And then Kat freaks out for some more of the episode, wondering if Adina's going to come back. Adina finally sits her down and they have a conversation on the bed.
I liked Adina's reaction because she didn't just, like, get upset or anything. She didn't start, like, yelling at her or anything like that. You know, she just, like, left and was like, I need to go. I need to...
Need some space.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. And... I'm also glad that Kat dropped that bomb on her, like, right away, because I feel like if I had been Adina, I would have been upset if, like,
she
just, like, let me go on, like, all happy and stuff like that, and then, mm-hmm. like, told me that later, and I'd be like...
Yeah.
you know, I don't know. It's just, is it bad that I feel like I would just like end the relationship because I wouldn't really be able to trust them. Once the trust is broken for me, that's like, that's it, you know, it's over.
Yeah. So Adina's reaction is mature. Mm-hmm. So in last week's podcast, I was very worried they were going to they were going to write Adina to have a not mature response.
Yeah.
But thankfully they didn't. And so she understands and she says to Kat, I remember the first time I kissed a woman. You've only ever had me. Kat never got to date around. She never got to experience life as a single queer woman.
You need a hoe phase. That's what I always say.
I think it
helps.
I think what she needs is a gaby phase.
Yeah.
Like,
it's, you know, it can be the same.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
And Adina sort of says, and then Kat says, are you breaking up with me? And Adina says, I don't know. And so it's very uncertain.
They just
hold hands, sitting on the bed, and they're not sure what to do because Kat says explicitly that she doesn't want to lose Adina.
Yeah, Adina says the same thing. She says, I also don't want to lose you, but I also know that this phase doesn't go away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a curious phase.
I appreciated that she said that because I think that's like that. I mean, it's true.
Yeah.
Like, if Kat is curious now, she's going to stay curious. Mm-hmm. And that's not something that they can just miraculously I don't know, sweep under the rug.
But you know, it's hard to call it quits right away when you're still so emotionally invested in each other.
They just said I love you.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
They just said I love you.
Kat probably just finally got good at going down on Adina.
I know. It takes practice.
She hasn't had
that much time.
Yeah.
But like, she might be better after she slept with some more women. Like, you know, like,
I know. It's like, is Adina willing to just like give her a break and they both just like go around? You know,
because Adina could certainly get around too. Like, she's
great.
Had her time.
She can go back for another round. I think for Kat to kind of explore the scene would be nice. Mm-hmm. And when she gets the, you know, I mean, like I said, in a proper hoe phase, going out in the queer scene, that's generally what happens. You sleep around a little bit, and then you realize, oh my God, it's all the same people at these parties. I keep seeing these people that I hooked up with. And then she'll be like, okay, maybe I should calm down a little bit. Like, I've seen a lot, been around, had a good time, feeling good. Maybe it's time to find somebody a little more serious.
Mm.
And maybe in that moment, she'll realize how good she had it with Adina.
Yeah.
Or they might decide to be in an open relationship for a while.
Right. Yeah. And then I was thinking that too.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll get that poly storyline.
Yeah,
okay. Actually, you know who I want in the threesome? Not Layla. I want this other boy.
Oh, yeah.
Girl.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Or the Gaysian.
Oh, the Gaysian. Get the Gaysian in there. Get the Gaysian in that
jacket.
Yeah,
I know. She never takes it off.
The boulder type.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, man.
Well, I mean, with this show, they tackle a lot of sort of, like, envelope-pushing topics. So it wouldn't surprise me if they've explored non-monogamy on the show.
I wouldn't be surprised either. And I would be really happy to see that they'd explore it in a queer relationship as opposed to a straight one. So, I mean, they're setting up for it. They could easily go there. Mm-hmm. We'll see if they take their own bait.
So the good news about this storyline is that we're going to get way more scenes of Kat meeting other queer people.
Yes. Yes.
Which is what we wanted. When we originally wanted her to be interacting with the community, we wanted to see a lot more background queer characters. Mm-hmm.
But at what cost? Adina's happiness? That's not worth it. I mean, she was so sad. Oh, when Kat came back to the apartment to talk. Oh my God.
I think they could have done it where they were as a couple, Adina was introducing her to the community. I think
they could
have done it that
I
way.
I mean, like we said before, they could have done a Pride episode. They could have done, you know, a bar hopping, like Adina's like, hey, here's my group of friends, and not like, hey, I'm meeting up with what turned out to be one of my exes and not even introducing you to them.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just gonna hang out with them at the bar while you're over here talking to another one.
Well, part of this is also Adina's fault.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You went for a straight girl. What did you expect? Right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I think, okay, obviously Kat isn't straight, but I mean,
I'm sorry.
I do personally, I mean, I got to a point in my life where I was like, I don't care if a girl has been with other girls before, but I definitely want her to know that she is into girls.
Yeah,
if we're going to start a relationship. I don't want her to be figuring that out with me, because I've been there and I hated it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Didn't learn my lesson the first time. Had to learn it twice.
Wow.
So I have an N of two.
Okay.
For all the scientists out there.
Oh, God.
You know, I have met lesbian couples who are, like, married and they were each other's firsts.
Yeah, I mean, it happens.
Like, you know, it does happen.
Yeah.
You can sort of fall in love with somebody and then not be curious.
I mean, it happens with straight people all the time. They're like high school sweethearts and they're the only people they've ever met. I mean, you know, like, who was I when I was 17? I was dumb. Imagine if I married the person I was dating when I was 17. I mean, people do that. It's like, it's just a thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's straight culture.
Yeah.
So we can't really be that down on ourselves as queer people if we date the first same-sex person, or if we marry the first same-sex person, you know, that we date.
Yeah.
I think that's not crazy.
Yeah. I think it's also more common in more rural areas, or areas where you don't have, like,
slim pickings.
Yeah. When the numbers are not there to support sort of selection.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to sort of take what you can get, because there are so few of you in numbers.
Well, and it happens a lot, too, with women who figure it out later in life, and they're already married to a man and have children, and then realize, you know, that they actually are into women, and leave their husbands for a woman that they've fallen in love with, and then that's the woman they marry. That's the only one that they were ever with. But it's like, I guess, you know, when you know, you know.
So is the non-monogamy route the only way they can keep Adina as a series regular while allowing Kat to explore her sexuality?
That was my next question. Right? I don't know how she's going to be a series regular if...
Or if she gets hired by Scarlett, too.
And they all just work with each other.
Oh, God. Poor Kat.
So speaking of getting hired at Scarlett, we should talk about Jane.
Yes.
And what happened to her.
Oh, Jane. We're so proud of her. I am, at least. I mean, God, she did great. So she was nominated for a Mandy Award for her piece on sexual assault featuring Jacqueline. And then her nomination gets her more writing opportunities, freelancing opportunities. And so she gets an opportunity to write a follow-up piece to that, which she's a little hesitant to do, but, you know, a job's a job. And she finds out that in the story that Jacqueline told, where she was assaulted at one of her early jobs, that same man, 5 years later, assaulted another woman, and that's the woman who came forward to talk to Jane. And so it was a really, really heavy-hitting storyline. And the woman, Elena, brought up an interesting point, which is that, you know, obviously she can't, you know, blame Jacqueline, but she wonders what would have happened if Jacqueline had come forward, if she would have also been assaulted. And so that's kind of hard for Jane to, you know, come to terms with and to write about. But she, of course, goes to Jacqueline about it, and Jacqueline is just as good of a mentor as ever.
Yeah.
I mean, man, like, that woman's strength knows no bounds for her to be in the position and also, like, give advice on it. Like, I just thought she did a spectacular job.
What I liked about that scene is that Jacqueline, as I mentioned before in earlier podcast episodes, she's continuing to mentor Jane without being her boss.
Yes.
And when Jane says, oh, I'm writing this piece for the Daily Review with Jeff something something, and Jacqueline, her instinct is to say, is he giving you any trouble?
Yeah, I know. She's invested. She's invested in Jane.
She loves her.
I know.
And so at the end of the episode, Jane ends up publishing that story, but she sends it to Jacqueline first.
Yes.
And Jacqueline says, come and meet me in the office ASAP. And that's when Jacqueline gives her final recruiting offer.
Mm-hmm.
She tells Jane, I think you're ready to come back to Scarlett, because you're not here out of fear.
Yes.
You're a different person than you were before.
She's already done her growing.
Yeah.
We thought it was going to be the whole season.
I know.
A few episodes.
She just needed a few freelance gigs. And now she can come back in a better place, and Jacqueline feels like she's ready.
Yeah, and then the scene where she meets up with Sutton and Kat in the fashion closet.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
So
the three
cute.
Of them all back
she's
together.
She's like, I work here, and they're like, we're fragile.
Jane, yeah,
don't test us like that. Yeah, it was cute. It was cute. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was really happy for Jane.
We were so
and
happy
proud of
for
her too. Yeah.
Yeah, it was earned. Mm-hmm. It was a good story. She won the award.
I also want to note, because while we were watching, I was annoyed that Ben was the one who gave her the idea that
she
would be, you know, a better candidate for freelancing or whatever now that she's been nominated. And I've been thinking about it, and I realized that one of the reasons I like Ben is because I feel like they've sort of turned the tables on that common trope of a woman just being there for a man's character development and growth. And I feel like that's what Ben has been for Jane. He kind of like, I mean, yeah, she easily is smart enough to have thought of that herself. Yes. And that was kind of a weird thing for him to be telling her. But like the whole time in the episode, he's just kind of like there. Yeah. You know, like supporting her, just like basically just so that she's not monologuing to herself. It's just somebody for there to be dialogue with. But it didn't necessarily have to be him.
Yeah. But that's also Alex's function in all of season one with Sutton. He's there as a sounding board for most of her like insecurities, her thoughts, her fears.
But he was also there for a mini love triangle.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's interesting when they do that to men for women's character development, and I feel like I'm less offended by it.
Yeah, they needed to give him some dialogue. That was, I was like mad about it, but then there was like, what is he going to say?
I felt like something. The whole episode, I mean, his arc was basically just being like, proving himself as like a nice supportive boyfriend who's just like, you know, he knows his place, you know, the whole time. It's like she would tell him like, no, not now, you know, like
I mean, even when we were watching, I made that comment about how what I like about Ben is he's just there. He's not offensive, he's not obnoxious like Pinstripe. He's just sort of, he's like a supportive, positive presence who doesn't take up space.
Yes.
And that's what is so frustrating about other characters, mostly the white men on the show. They just occupy too much damn space.
Yeah.
Even Richard was not in this episode, but he took up too much damn space.
I know. That look.
Yeah, why did that need to be there?
Yeah, that look he gave Sutton at the gala. I'm like,
we don't care.
Yeah. Like, go away, Richard. Don't look at her.
Don't look at her.
So speaking of Sutton, she also did some growing up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank God.
Yeah, she's been drinking her blues away and, you know, getting in trouble. Well, not really getting in trouble. She still has not faced any consequences for her actions, which... Mm-hmm.
That's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way they're letting that go.
I know. Yeah, the paying for that coke. I'm like, there has to be a consequence.
Yeah, and even in this episode, Brooke is like, let's get some blow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. Yeah, I'm glad that Sutton finally said no. And when she showed up at Kat's door, first of all, we thought that it was Layla at the door. And that's why we were all like holding our breath, wondering if Layla showed up to Kat's apartment. But it was thankfully Sutton, like, you know, with her senses back, ready to rally Kat and get them to go to the gala to celebrate Jane's award together. Yeah. So Sutton has done some growing. She like stepped out of it. I appreciate at the beginning of this episode when Oliver was sort of picking up on the fact you look puffy.
You look puffy.
And he could, and I think he probably knows something about Brooke and her reputation.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure he does. And you know, his assistant is coming in late and hungover on a regular basis. I mean, like, I'm surprised he's been cutting her this much slack already. But you know, she's been getting him good stuff for work through that, so I think, I don't know. I mean, I'm sensing a mentorship with Oliver that may become stronger. Okay. Mm-hmm. I hope so, at least, because I feel like he does have a lot of expertise that he could be sharing with Sutton, but
this is not the last.
Forge her own path.
This is not the last of Sutton's problems.
Oh, yeah.
This is gonna come back. I think somehow that bar receipt is gonna come into play down the road.
Yeah, and in the preview, there's like, clearly something's going on with that. What's it? Balenciaga, the bag?
Yeah. Sutton's trying to get a bag for some photo shoot, and Brooke's not getting back to her, and like she's not getting, you know, through the connections that she's made, she's not really getting anything done, and so she's nervous that.
Yeah.
So that's why I wanted to see how she turned Brooke down that night and went over to Kat's apartment, because girl like Brooke is not turned down easily.
No.
Yeah.
She's used to hearing yeses from people.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
And you sudden in that scene where she's in the kitchen and she's definitely depressed about meeting Richard's girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to tell Brooke that she's sad. And Brooke is like, no, this sad sudden is boring. We're going to go out. And she just, you were right, like, she's not getting a read on the room. She's not actually listening. Yeah. So sudden, that is not a true friend. She's not a real friend. Mm-hmm. And so, you know.
And comes up with slutton in that moment of all moments.
Yeah, just like sleep around, drink your troubles away. And that's the advice that she gives Sutton.
Yeah.
So it's funny because the whole reason why Sutton is pursuing this relationship with Brooke is to network professionally. She thinks, oh, if I make this connection, that will help my career. And I think not just Sutton, but a lot of people make that mistake of thinking, oh, if I network with somebody who's important, that's going to boost my career, without realizing that any misstep with somebody important could also damage your career. Because all it takes is a word from Brooke for Sutton to get blacklisted.
Exactly.
With different designers in New York City. When you're dealing with someone who is, first of all, so high profile and also so privy to her own impulses. Mm-hmm. Someone who's clearly not, I think, level-headed and is very much guided by indulgence and doing whatever, like indulgences, charging cocaine expenses to somebody else's card. And there are so many red flags with Brooke.
She's just a brat, you know. She's just spoiled, like plain and simple. Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know. And I'm glad that Sutton kind of finally saw that the reason she was allowing herself to get so deep into that was because she was sad about Richard.
To like continue to like go out with that group after that happened is so surprising. Given the way that they built up Sutton's character, it didn't seem like in line with her character.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that she like finally ditched Brooke after the gala.
Before the gala. I'm happy that I'm happy that she ditched her as well, but it's just weird also because the scenes in past episodes, it was always in passing, like her coming back from a night out or like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that we see the pattern, but we're not really seeing how the nights themselves are going or how the relationship is building. And so I would have been, you know, more curious to see that because I'm like, is Sutton just suddenly acting like she's okay with all this stuff? Yeah. Or like, I don't know, Brooke doesn't really care either way how Sutton acts. Like,
for a split second when Brooke came over, I worried they were going to start doing coke.
Oh.
During that scene. I really did. My mind just went there. That like maybe she's so depressed about seeing Richard with his new girlfriend. And
Sutton develops a coke habit. That's the new plot line.
Yeah. I'm glad that did not happen. I know. Oh my God. Thank you. So one of my besties brought up, and now I'm properly giving credit to somebody who brought this up, is that Sutton's storyline with Richard means that for many episodes, Sutton has failed to pass the Bechdel test. Because her storyline...
That's true. She's always talking about Richard.
Yeah, tends to always be around Richard. Even when she's talking with her friends, she's still talking about Richard.
Unless she's talking to them about their...
Well, then in which case she would pass the Bechdel test. Mm-hmm. But like, what's interesting is that this storyline with Brooke is the most communication she's had with another woman that has not been about Richard.
And she still talks about him.
And she's still talking about him anyways. And I think that's why I always felt during season one that Sutton's storyline was the weakest. Because it was so much about her relationship with this older white dude.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let him marry this other woman. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem also from like a pragmatic point of view that he and this other woman are good for each other.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she's like, I mean, they are more like an age-appropriate fit, but it's like they were together in law school and then like, you know, they're really connecting again. She said it's like no time had passed. So I'm like, just, you know, let them be happy and just like go away, basically. Yeah. And like just... slowly write them off the show.
So we didn't really get too much in the preview for next week.
Yeah, it was mostly Sutton-centric.
It was very Sutton-centered. Jane is fully back at Scarlet now, so that's fabulous. Mm-hmm. Sutton is puts on her fake voice. Oh my God, that was so irritating.
That was so funny. That was like, good job, you know?
Hey, Brookie Brooks. Yeah. It's Sutton. Oh my god, yeah. Vomit. Yeah. 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 So gross.
And then we find out that Sutton owns a gun, which I don't know.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we didn't see anything about Kat and Adina so far in the promos, which obviously is what we care about the most. But
which feels like a betrayal, to be honest.
Yeah, I feel like they should have given us something. The queers on that cliffhanger and then not at least give us a promo showing that they will be talking about it more. Just like show us like a second of them in the same room together talking or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just that we know it's coming. Because if they skip it for an episode, I don't think they would, but I would be pissed.
Yeah, they can't do that.
They can't, right? Okay, good. Thank you for reassuring me.
No. But we only have episode 7, 8, 9, and 10. So there are only 4 episodes left of the season. Oh, okay. So they already resolved Jane's employment situation, right. Mm-hmm. In only a few episodes. Sutton has sort of climbed out of that hole, but there's still enough time for her to get sucked back into it if you know, things come to a head or shit hits the fan.
Or there's a fallout for like what she did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would be an interesting turn for her, because this whole time I thought that Sutton would face the consequences from somebody else, like Jacqueline, mm-hmm. But not necessarily mm-hmm. face the consequences from Brookside. Where yeah, Brooke yeah. retaliates, essentially. Yeah. And then with Kat and Adina, I really don't know how they're going to deal with this, because they're going to want to leave us with some kind of cliffhanger.
They have so much more time to deal with whatever they're going to decide to do. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming Adina's going to be in the rest of the episodes, because she was already out of just one or two. It felt like forever.
Yeah, I know. It was too long. It was too long, however long it was.
Yeah.
I think it was just the one episode.
Yeah, it was just the one. Yeah. And then she came back on this episode. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, either way, I don't know what this gun storyline is going to be, but frankly, I feel like it's not that big of a deal. Like, you know, Sutton probably just is... I feel like she's from an area that's like where that's more normal.
Yeah.
And so she has like a gun safely stored in her home, and it's like, you know, obviously... You should probably tell your roommates if you own a gun somewhere, but, you know.
So it wouldn't surprise me also, considering that I want them to talk about Sutton's working class background.
So maybe that'll come up then.
Yeah.
That was not like a handgun.
That was a rifle.
That was
definitely a giant gun.
Yes. I know. She tried to say it was a clarinet.
Yeah.
Please. Yeah. Okay. So what are our big takeaways from this week's episode? Like, things that we're happy about, things we were not happy about.
Kat done fucked up.
Mm-mm.
Oh, but I'm like so happy for all those scenes.
Smut of it all. Yeah. Yeah, Adina did a good job reacting, but we'll see how that progresses. We're very happy for Jane. Yes. We are tentatively happy for Sutton.
Yeah, but nervously so.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not going to last.
Yeah, we'll see. She made a good choice. She made one good choice.
Yeah.
She has several more ahead of her.
And we got more scenes with Jacqueline this week.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a drought.
I know.
This season has been very Jacqueline light so far.
Yeah.
And I wanted more.
Now Jane's at Scarlet.
So there's lots more Jacqueline.
A lot of mentorship scenes.
And then also, headcanon, Adina's Polly, and they have a threesome, foursome, with the black girl and the Asian girl
from the bar.
And Layla's not in the picture.
No, Layla's gone.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we're going to close things off,
yes.
But we're excited for next week's episode. Thank you so much for joining us this week, Natasha.
Yeah,
really
this was
pleased
fun.
To have you.
Great having you.
Yeah. All right, tune in next time.